Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What's up, y'all? This is Rudy Gay. This is Speakeasy, and brought to you by Believe Network. Today, I got how should I address you?
As an honorable, great friend of yours.
So you know, my teammate, Toronto, started in Toronto, San Antonio afterwards, but
we had a relationship before we even played.
Yeah, we had a relationship, but. You know, it's my good friend DeMar DeRozan, man. And before we, you know, I let him talk because, you know, that's how we roll out. He talks when I ask him to. But, you know, this is probably one of the realest people I've met in my career. So, you know, it's only right that actually, as soon as I came out with the podcast, he told me, he was like, yo, I want to be on. But I was like, all right, we can set up a Zoom. He said, nah, I want to do it in person. And it just makes more sense because, you know, y'all can see the kind of relationship we had. It's not too many people I say I'm close to or even, you know, even friends with, you know, at this point in my career. But, you know, this is one of the people I say is my brother. So appreciate having you. Appreciate you coming on. Excuse me.
Always, dog. Always. You know what I mean? Whenever. I mean, it even doing this, it seems weird because it's like nothing's never a surprise with us because it's like... Like, we really friends, you know what I mean? Right. So it's like, right. Even before some come into play, it's like, I already know. So yeah. It's like, all right, it may be new to somebody else and everything. So it'd be cool just to see the transition that we had completely over this time. You know what I mean? I remember when we first met, it was the lockout. Mm-hmm. Was it? No, it was before the lockout. Remember we was in L.A. playing. Remember we was playing Open Run. We was playing Open Run.
LMU. Yeah.
Then we ended up being in China.
That was when Meta first changed his name to Meta.
That's when he first changed.
He showed us an ID.
Yep. So we was hooping. And for some reason, like, we hooped and we was cool from then. And next thing you know, we ended up being in China 2 weeks after that. And ever since then, like, you know, been my dog. Been riding with you. Right, wrong, and different. Then it was crazy. For us to be teammates.
Yeah. And the funny thing about that, I don't mean to cut you off, is K-Lo was like telling me at the beginning of that season, like, yo, Toronto wants you. I'm like, all right, whatever. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, when, I don't know, y'all ain't, obviously a lot of people that are watching this ain't been traded before, but, so I'm like, okay, whatever, cool. So like at the, you know, you hear more and more speculation about, like, who's on this damn team? And I knew you were on the team. So I was like, all right, well, it won't be that bad. But I still didn't think it was going to happen. It happened, and, you know, it was like, as soon as I was there, we all clicked. So that's it. But, you know, I think this is good because people don't know our relationship. People don't know really about you. They know about what you put out there. But, you know, my podcast, I always want to give people a chance. I want to, you know, kind of, I don't want to rush you into talking about things other than basketball, but you know, just talk about it, man. So like, tell them a little bit about growing up in Compton, bro.
Man, obviously you gotta be extremely close to me to have a full, complete insight on me, just period, from top to bottom, that really understand me. Most people look from the surface and, you know, think I'm quiet, I stay to myself, I'm reserved.
That ain't it.
that ain't it. If we have a relationship, you know what I mean? Like I'm all the way out there. I'm goofy. I try to live my life as a kid, and that just all stems from, you know, the way I grew up in Compton. Just, you know, having that survival mentality growing up, not knowing that was the mentality that I had to have. You know what I mean? But for the most part, you know, it was rough. Always searching and trying to find a passion is something that you can indulge in and get away from all the negativity that you was faced with every single day.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of what it was for me, just growing up and kind of missing a lot of my childhood because being forced to kind of be older young, which put me at this point now of being so goofy while I'm older. Yeah. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's how we kind of related, because, you know, Compton, Baltimore, I mean, they're two tough cities. And when you know, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When you're around somebody, like, you could tell when somebody been through something, you know what I'm saying? Or have to, you know, had to grow up or have tough skin. And, you know, I the difference between me and him is, I say, but, you know, I'm more emotional than he is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm a little more emotional than he is. So, like, things get to me a little bit more. But I've seen DeMar go through some things and be able to still play and go out there and compete at a high level. And I think that's one of the things that always, you know, made me respect him, because, you know, I've seen you, like, we've seen each other at our lowest.
Yeah, for sure, so, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and to still be able to go out there and perform and do things without, you know, with a smile on your face, it says a lot. When you want to put our mixtape out?
I'm ready whenever you want. You know what I mean? listen, that's another thing I've never talked about, or you never really talked about. It was just, you know, I never forget the night I made you come to the studio and get on a song, and you rapped on a song and got off. You know what I mean? I'm like, yo, you lying. You rapped before. And it just became one of those freaking things. So whenever we had a chance to record a song, we would record a song. So for people out there, me and Rudy do have a little EP that we could throw out there.
Nah,
but
the world ain't ready for that.
Nah, they definitely not ready, but we do got something. We do got something.
Man, I waited my whole life for that verse, man.
I can hear it. I mean, you left it all out on the track.
I left it on the table, man.
Yeah, we got some, you know what I mean?
Oh, no, I think it retired, man. I don't know.
Yeah, it was a good run if it did.
Yeah, I'm tired of lying. I'm tired of lying, man.
See?
Yeah. I don't know, man. Kendrick came out. I might have to talk about some real stuff now.
Yeah, we got to change our whole platform. You know what I mean?
You know. Yo, so talk to me about how, you know, music comes to play. I grew up in LA, you know, millions of rappers and people out here that you are close to. Just being around you and, man, getting some music that ain't out yet. You know, that's one of the best things about having DeMar as a friend. He know everybody. I call him the Snoop Dogg of NBA. Yeah, he knows everybody. He always somewhere, but.
I think it's dope. Like you said, just growing up in LA, it's kind of like, LA's such a small place. And growing up and you have any type of success, you automatically connect yourself with, you know, everybody that's around the city that's doing something great. You know, had the privilege.
Even smaller Compton.
Yeah, even smaller Compton. So when you have like a Kendrick or the Game, you have certain rappers come out of that city, you automatically connected to them. You know what I mean? So first sight, no matter when it is, it's like, yo, we from the same city. We're going to stick together. We're going to support each other and ride with each other. So, you know, that's the dope thing about me being able to, you know, have a great relationship with a lot of these guys. And sometimes it's just me just respecting their art so much to where sometimes I just will go to the studio and watch them work. You know what I mean? And just being able to have that privilege to be allowed to do a lot of those things with some of the greats, whether if it's Kendrick, if it's the Game, you know, people from out here having that opportunity to do that. You know, sometimes I get unreleased music, you know?
So I heard you're supposed to be on Ice-T new album. Is that true?
You got just talk about Ice-T too. Just to talk about, I would love an Ice-T album, please.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about basketball, though, man.
Ice-T, bro. We just was talking about Ice-T. Okay.
So, bro, like, you know, been watching your whole career, obviously, and play with you, and I think I had a front row seat to see how you progress as a player. Yeah, we joked about it all the time. Like, we played together in Toronto. Everybody's talking about dunking and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's something me and you never wanted to be known for. Yeah, so it's like, I think you took it to heart a little bit more than me, though.
For sure. Yeah.
But it's just, you know, coming from there to be knowing that, you know, just coming in as an athletic rookie and sophomore and so on and so forth and turning into a complete player. Like, and on top of that, you know, you stay true to yourself, and that's respectful. Like, a lot of kids go out there, you know, it's turned into a numbers league, which I hate.
For sure.
I hate the fact that it's a numbers league and, you know, analytics. You got nerds in the front office telling people, you know, how to play people. And when you're a basketball player, it goes off of feeling. And more than feeling, more than that, it's just your pedigree. And your pedigree ain't what percentage threes and twos you shoot. I think it's more, coming from a basketball player's perspective, it's more about, you know, how does this player play under pressure? For the way I feel like you're the person that proves that more than anything, because I used to make fun of you about not shooting threes, but, you know, that's just not your game. Mm-hmm. And what you continue to do is perfect what you do. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of kids go out there wasting time trying to do something that they're not built to do. Where did you pattern that off of?
I remember having a conversation with Cole. I don't know if I ever spoke on this, but I remember having a conversation with Cole, and he just expressed to me about, you know, mastering your craft and being true to yourself. Mm-hmm. And I just always took that to heart, you know what I mean? Whether it has something to do with analytics or not, I just took it to heart, you know what I mean? As my career, you know, transformed, and I started going my second, third year, fourth year, fifth year, you start to kind of get a feel for what you know you could perfect, you know, and kind of be realistic with yourself at the same time. You know, it don't matter how many threes I try to go out there and work on throughout the summer, I'm not going to be Steph Curry. Yeah. You know what I mean? No, never be another Steph Curry. Never be a Klay Thompson. You know, those guys are great at what they do. That's like telling some Steph Curry, you know, work on your athletic ability. Next year, you better come out jumping like Vince Carter. Right. You know what I mean? You got to be realistic with yourself. So for me, just staying true to myself, mastering my craft, and me falling in love with what created the game. You know, all the great scores. If you go back and look at them from the 80s and 90s and 2000s, how they was able to score, you know, that's a lost art that kind of get pushed to the wayside because so many guys are shooting threes now. And, you know, I just indulged in that and just figured out ways to continue to master and get better at that, you know, and I just stuck with it. You know, I always thought analytics was sort of bullshit, you know, because at the end of the day, you can't measure someone's heart with analytics.
I feel like that's what it is, man. Like, yo, anybody, people's pedigree should be how they play under pressure.
Right.
Like, do they crack? Do they need this person? How do they play with this person? I think that's more than anything. Obviously, yeah. You know, if there is a formula to winning games, but, you know, more than anything, you need those people that know how to get it done. No, it's funny because when I tore my Achilles, I called Kobe too. Because you know how we are. Whenever somebody goes through the same injury, we always call him. And I was like, Kobe, man, you know, how'd you get back? He was like, man, you know, when you have so much, I'm not just saying it to say it. He actually said this to me. When you have so much talent, you know, when they take something away from you, just focus on what you're good at. And he told me, just get better at what you do and get better at that. And I'm saying that to say, like, that was probably Kobe's generic answer because he told you the same thing.
Same thing. It'd be so generic. It's
like he practices. It's like, yeah, that's his throwout.
It's
thing.
So generic, but it'll hit you later, though. Yeah, you know what I mean? But it'd be so generic in the moment. But yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Kobe.
Yeah, man. Rest in peace.
What kind of impact did he have on your life? Not even your career?
I mean, honestly, outside of, you know, my father putting the ball in my hand, by the time I was 16, you know, first of all, my imagination came from watching Kobe at 7 years old. You know what I mean? That was the one player that I could consistently watch. And I remember crying when he shot all them air balls versus Utah, you know, in the playoffs.
Damn, like, how old? You like 17, right?
No, I wasn't 17. You probably 7. I was like 7, 8 years old.
You're like crying at 17.
I remember I had that emotional connection with him being my favorite player, and, you know, trying to emulate everything I seen him do to translating over to being 16. Now I'm in the same gym with him, building a relationship with him through high school, learning from him. So he was very instrumental to me because he gave me the belief and confidence that I could accomplish whatever it is if I put the work to it. You know what I mean? So I got to give him so much credit when it comes to that, because without him, I wouldn't be the player who I am today. You know, just having the right mentality, work ethic, and understanding on how to approach the game and, you know, being patient with it. So Kobe definitely was everything for me.
Yeah. I'm just hearing you talk. This is weird for me because I don't think we ever had a
conversation. No, we never had we would have been arguing by now.
In the games, we never had we've had serious conversations, but somebody always say a joke or something. We end up laughing about it. Chicago, man. So, like, you know, this is your first year in Chicago. Had a great year.
Mm-hmm.
found yourself again. Or found yourself at home. We all talked about the process of you getting there. You know, that's neither here nor there, because it doesn't matter, because you're Chicago Bull now. how does it feel? Like, everybody knows about Chicago. When you go to Chicago, we call them Big Unk, we call them whatever. How does it feel to play in, you know, I wouldn't say his shadow, but his footsteps, you know what I'm saying, in that city?
I mean, it's amazing. I'm not even gonna lie to you. It was a lot of moments this year where it was completely like surreal, you know, because it was times you out there, you at the free throw line, you get an MVP chance. You know what I mean? Like, this is exactly the same arena Michael Jordan was in, you know what I mean? Like,
he getting them same chance.
Like, everything. So it's like, you know, just even driving to
he would win it though.
He did what?
I was pushing for you, though.
He would have won it. But just you know, more than anybody, you know how, you know, our previous years was. So to be in that situation so quick, you know, it was just surreal. Then, you know, I ain't gonna lie, I went back and watched The Last Dance, right? And I remember.
I thought you were about to say, like, the Players Club or something. Like, what they got to do anything?
I watched The Last Dance, and it was so funny because, like, my daughter came in and see me watching it and said, she was watching it thinking I was going to be out there. You see what I'm saying? Because it's like.
Because you old.
No, because it's like, that's your arena.
Yeah.
Where you at?
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, this is when Jordan played, baby. It's like. You didn't play with him? Like, no. Like, you know? But, you know, I just say that to basically say, you know, it's just crazy to be in that same atmosphere, walking those same walls that, you know, Michael Jordan built and everything. So it definitely was dope.
Look, I've known you going on, what, almost 11 years now.
Mm-hmm.
How hard was it for you to change your number?
Oh man, I was devastated. Like I was devastated, but at the same time, like, I felt it was necessary just for the simple fact of, like, all right, this is really my first opportunity and chance to get to pick where I want to go. You know what I mean? So start something new and not live with all the ups and downs that came with wearing number 10. You know what I mean? But in a moment I was like, you know what I mean? Brandon and all that, you know, you had to switch it up.
Comp 10, you know.
Comp 10 and everything, but
I
now.
Know, you know, Comp 10 is like, okay, let's, okay. I know you. I feel like like people don't really know you like they should. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you like the mystery man in NBA. Like, you know, a lot of people go out there, you're not really into social media. You don't really, you know, you have the things that you care about, but it's not, you don't feel like you have to be everywhere, or be seen all the time. Mm-hmm. Like some other NBA players, I don't want to say no names, but so they like the attention, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I feel like this is a time for you, you know, to explain yourself and put what you want out there. Talk to me about Comp 10. Like, I've seen, you know, I wear the merch, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. They try to jump me in, but I won the fight.
No, you honorary. You in there.
Okay.
Yeah, you ain't, that's, Comp 10. You ain't got no choice. Yeah. You ain't got no choice.
All right. Talk to me about it, man. And it's like, honestly, like, at first, I just thought it was a bunch of your homeboys around, but like, it's really family.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, you know, it's like everybody around me is a product and a foundation of the environment that molded me. You know what I mean? So when it comes to the whole Compton brand, I try to build that off of everything that created me, my morals, my understanding, my toughness, my mentality. And that's all I see that's around me, and continue to try to build that up and, you know, try to put that in the brand, you know, whether if it's certain landmarks that, you know, we crossed every single day growing up, you know, where to go, where not to go, you know, dealing with gangs, you know, and trying to turn everything into like a positive moment. So,
yeah, I mean, there's a positive to everything, man. I mean, it's a big stigma with, you know, LA gang. There's a big stigma about it. And that's part of it. Like, yo, like we talked about this all the time. Baltimore, maybe now, but when I grew up, it was just, you know, people, every man for yourself. Like, I felt like the way you explained growing up in Compton, it was like, yo, you got to be a part of something. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, just to have people have your back. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And either way, I don't think either way is like ideal. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it toughens you. It hardens you. And I remember that time you took me and you was in a car. We was in like a Maserati or something. He's like, yo, ride me real quick. So we in LA, I'm driving. I'm saying, like, it's getting a little rough. So we walking. You driving. So, you know. So I say, welcome to Compton. I'm like, okay, we're here. All right. So then he leaves me in the car by myself. So I'll be right back. I'm like, bro, I'm not from here, man. You got me? Don't leave me in a nice ass car by myself, man. He left. I locked the door and everything. Like, man, these do not know me around here. Somebody called me, asked me something from one of the movies, man. I don't know how to answer it.
I damn sure did. I ain't gonna lie.
Where you stay at?
I had to handle something.
Where your daddy from?
Yeah. Where your granny stay?
Where
all
your granny
that?
Granny
yeah. stay. I mean, yeah. I mean, you. Listen, man. Every time I took you around, anything to do with me, they love you like they like you me. You know what I mean?
So, I saw the same car drive around a couple of times. I'm just letting you know. I was checking your glove box. Making sure. man. Yeah. But nah, man. It was good to, you know. That's why like really, this is my dog. So, you know. I trusted that, and I make fun of it, but, you know,
vice versa. Remember, for years, you always used to try to get me to go to Baltimore, and you finally got me there that one night, and I almost didn't even get in the car.
He pulled up, he's like, man, y'all still drive Hummers out here?
So, you know, we flip-flop.
Yeah. Okay, more about Chicago, man. So, like, you know, for a lot of the players on your team, you were, obviously the other statesman, but, you know, how'd you go about taking on, even in San Antonio, like, you know, you had more vets, but like now you are the vet on that team.
Yeah.
And a lot of the younger guys, you know, you have a lot of younger talent. You have, you know, you and Vooch played college together though.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Zach, Lonzo, you know, how did it feel taking on that role with those guys? You know, obviously it's a new era and, you know, they've gotten everything they wanted out of basketball, but, you know, how did it feel to have to lead them to something bigger and even onto the future?
I mean, it was great. I mean, I had a hell of a, you know, learning experience, obviously, you know, when we was together for 3 years in San Antonio, you know.
I mean, Pop there, so like as much as we try to teach, you know, you still have Greg Popovich there.
Yeah, so you know, you try to take from different experiences, you know, and for me to, for the first time in my career, be the oldest player on the team, it was new for me. But in all honesty, those guys made it simple. You know, and Lonzo, Zach, you know, all those guys on that team was incredibly, like, great teammates, you know, and they made the job easy. You know, only thing that I could say was the choice of music sometimes was completely different. But other than that, man, they was dope, man. It made my job easy. They made it fun. They made it cool to come to work every single day. Plane flights, plane rides. I don't think I didn't sleep on one flight this year just because we was up playing cards, listening to music on the plane, whatever it may be. So it was always cool. It was cool. They made it easy.
Yeah. So playoffs going on. Obviously, you know, when you've been in the league a long time, you have people that you actually know that are playing and are not even know, like, cool with. We all know each other. As far as how it's going, what two teams you think coming out of both?
Man, it's tricky, man, because, I mean, as we all know, a lot of luck coming to play. Who's healthy? It's tricky, man. Usually before you could go out there and say, you know, this team winning. It's hard, man. All these teams that's in it, shit. Anybody got a chance to win it, man. Teams playing at a high level. Nobody fear nobody. Mm. You know what I mean? So to me, it's just about who get hot. And I'm not trying to give a politically correct answer.
Nah, I get it.
But it's really hard to say, bro. You know what I mean? Like, I it could be a surprise if anybody win it. Like, damn, nobody picked them to win it. Nobody right. picked, I mean, unless it's, you know, Golden State. But shit, the way Miami playing.
Yeah, shout out to K-Lo, man. K-Lo, yeah,
shout out. Get healthy, K-Lo. PJ.
Yeah, PJ.
Big Jimbo.
Jimmy.
But yeah, it's like the way they playing is their confidence at an all-time high. They know exactly what to do. They play extremely hard defensively. It's hard. I mean, Boston looking.
Yeah, they looking good.
They looking good. The confidence that they playing with JT, Jalen, you know, it's shit. It's hard to say, man. Be honest. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing who win it. Honestly, I haven't missed a game, so.
It's hard to watch playoffs, eh?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. So I try to flip my mindset into fan mode, you know what I mean? And just being a fan of basketball and want to see what happened and not, you know, read about it. See, this when we kind of like.
Yeah, I can't watch.
Yeah, you can't watch. Like, I can watch. That's when.
Jealous.
Yeah, you
Maybe
know.
I'm just jealous. Am I like.
I wouldn't say that. You more so. We both stubborn, but you Brett stubborn when it comes to a lot of things. Yeah. And that's what we always used to argue about, little stuff, because I'm like, bro, why are you putting so much energy in the caring and
this is an actual conversation.
That's so much. Like, let it go. Like, I don't know how many times I done told you, like, bro, stop putting so much energy into that. It don't matter.
But you know, everybody got a reason they're here, man. That's one of the reasons why I'm here.
True.
That's what I
True, but
I'm
you
petty.
Nah,
I'm
that's
petty.
That's your
I'm a
problem.
Petty human being. I'm sorry.
No, bro. I didn't see
you in your own way.
I'm petty in my own way for sure, but I didn't see you eating dinner mad because of something that just happened on TV screen. Like, bro, let it go. Like, come on, man. Like, enjoy to be mad after you eat. You know what I mean? At least I'm that person. I enjoy a meal. We laugh, joke, and blah, blah, blah. But when we walking out there, I'm be mad as a motherfucker.
No, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about this guy here. This guy is all good. You know what? Everything I said before is bullshit. Let me be real about this guy right here. This guy right here is all good until he blows up.
Oh, yeah, of
and
course.
When he blows up, it's like, eh.
Of course. I mean, we all got a breaking point,
bro. Let's call the
police. Listen. Listen, we all have a breaking point, man. Come on, man. Like,
I know. We both
see
each
other. We seen the nicest guy slap. Let me not go there.
Slap across the world.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Someone you never expect. Yeah. We all have a breaking point, bro. That's all I'm saying. Who am
Kendrick,
I?
Kendrick said something about that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, who am I? You know what I mean?
You're human.
We all human, bro. You know, you try to be. But
so let me.
Nah, bro. I can't. I'm stopping you. See, you the type that I would have grabbed you before you got out that seat to go. Walk upstage to slap somebody. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I could see it in your body language beforehand. So, I'm that friend. You know what I mean? Like,
what's his name? Denzel Washington.
Yeah, before that, bro.
Before that?
Yeah, before that. Before, okay. I'm gonna already know, like,
all right.
Man. All right. Like, it's like somebody, it's if somebody bother you, I'm gonna know, like, damn, let me get in front of Rudy because I already know he about to snap.
See, that's him. Me, I'm like, okay, he's proactive.
Yeah.
I'm reactive.
Yeah.
So, like,
and it's
that's the biggest difference between me and him. Like, okay, he would have stopped me before I walked up there. I would have escorted you out so nobody else touched you after what you smacked them.
Right.
That's the type of person I am.
Perfect example.
Like, leave him alone. Example. He good. I got him.
Perfect example. I mean? And every time that happened, when you calm me down, I don't give you no resistance to any. You're right. You got it. let's get out of here. You want to be mad for 2-3 hours. Like, let it go, dog. Days. That's what I'm saying. Days. Let it go. Let it go.
Well, I'm older now, man. It's
I mean, you're still the same.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something, yeah.
Let it go.
Yeah. So, man. Shit, what else we got?
So you want to talk about that?
No. No, I don't.
All right, we good.
Yeah. That
this man crazy.
You want to talk about you and Scrappy Mother Baby?
What was that name?
Mama D. Relationship.
She left me, man.
I was really bonded. Yeah. I mean, shoot, man. Let's talk about mental health. Like, I don't want to talk about your mental health. Just to, all right, let me speak on that. Like, this is something that, especially in the Black community, that is frowned upon. Speaking up on mental health and swallowing your pride and really saying, look, I have to deal with this. And it's even bigger for somebody like you to come out because, people like you probably one of the biggest people to come out of the city where you're from. Mm-hmm. And that's, as I feel like it should be a priority for people like me and you to talk about certain things and humanize the issues that we have. People see us as, figures that, basketball, even like with injuries, we sprained our ankle in the game.
Yeah.
Why ain't he playing?
Yeah.
But the average Joe would miss work for a whole month. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Gain weight and everything. But we're expected to go out there and play. It's just a sprained ankle.
Yeah.
Even to a doctor's standpoint, like you have a doctor that's used to athletes, they'll say, okay, ice it, do all these things. And, you have somebody that's, not used to dealing with athletes, you'll say, oh, stay off of it for a month. You know what I'm saying? But it's just the stigma they have about athletes and how we're supposed to be like these robots,
mm-hmm.
not have feelings, not have families, not have issues, not have real issues in our life. And like I said before, I had a situation in my career when I had to deal with my grandmother passing and I dealt with that because my grandmother was one of the people that raised me. So I missed one game and, this is when Twitter was popping and I'm sitting here looking like, yo, people have no filter or no understanding about life.
Yeah.
And, and me still expected to go out there and perform. And, I did that, but, hindsight is 2020 and I'm realizing like, damn, like I didn't have time to cope with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, and the situation with you a couple years ago, I was with you when Big Frank passed.
Mm-hmm.
And, I know, I don't think many people, like nobody knew really, mm-hmm. but, within our team, I don't think people really knew how right. important he was to you. Mm-hmm. And, you still went out there and performed and did your thing, but, I knew you were hurt by that. So mm-hmm. like, I say this, like mental health is something that you have been a catalyst for and been able to speak up about at your level with your platform, even though the stigma about, African America, we stick through it. We don't really talk about it. We just, stick through it. And, I just want to applaud you for actually doing that. I've seen you both go through things and still be able to do things. And I don't know how you do it. I don't know what kind of things you do. And we talk about I need anger management sometimes, but you just speak on like your path and how you've got to where you are from that.
Yeah. I mental health for me, it wasn't something I completely understood until 5 years ago, honestly, because like you said, the way we grow up, we're taught, to be tough. We taught not to cry. We taught to get up and shake it off. We taught all these aggressive tactics on how to get through not showing emotions when the one thing that we all have in common as humans is emotions. And if you push that to the wayside, unconsciously, it's going to build up and it's going to create a boiling breaking point for any person to overreact. Then you know what you get after that? Oh, what's wrong with you? Why?
Right.
Not understanding that it's such a buildup of things that we probably internalizing. We don't speak about because we're ashamed to speak about, or we feel like we'll be judged for or looked at being weak. And, you know, these things was never a thought of mine growing up because it was always like, oh, I'm an aggressive environment. I'm supposed to be aggressive. I'm supposed to meet aggression with aggression. Yeah. I'm not supposed to speak about my feelings because I'm not going to allow you to have one up on me.
Right.
You know, you carry that to where subconsciously you really driving yourself crazy because you find yourself sitting there getting mad at the most simplest stuff and wondering why I'm getting upset. You know what I mean? And for me, as I got older and start to understand that and speak about it, I just reached a point to where it's like, yo, I made it out of Compton, California. Can't nobody say anything to me to make me feel less of a man.
Right.
So why can't I speak on me feeling this way?
Right.
I feel sad today.
Right.
I'm down today.
Right.
And I'm going to let it be known so I could find some type of comfort in love from wherever I need to find it from. You know what I mean? Because we reject so much love when people trying to give it to us because of our own insecurities of wanting to be vulnerable. And for me, I just got to a point to where like I didn't care no more. Like, can't nobody judge me? Can't nobody, like, come on. I would bet on myself one-on-one with me and you in the elevator. I bet I'll be the first one to walk off. So what I need to be worried about somebody judging me for?
It's funny because I remember we were in Toronto. We had Drake had invited us to that the music video, remember?
Yeah.
And I was like, for some reason, I was just like, I don't know. Because I'm from Baltimore. This is how we think. Like, man, what happened if a fight broke out right here? DeMar was like, man, we work out every day, man. Nobody beating us up in here. I'm like, no, you're right. You're right. I mean, I don't know. It's just like when you grow up like me or him, it's like you always got. I always think the worst out of everything. Like, what could happen? This could happen. This could happen. Like, I'm, you know, I size people up when I walk into a building. Like, I forget that I'm 6'9", 250 pounds. Like, it doesn't matter because honestly, where I'm from, that doesn't matter either. Because I've seen the biggest people drop, you know, especially when they got a gun in their hand. So, you know, it's just those are the things that like we have to think about that I don't think is normal.
For sure, yeah.
For a human being to have to think about walking into a building or something like that.
Yeah.
Were you surprised to see how many other people were?
I was
with the same things.
I was.
I mean, because you've had conversations about it.
I really was, bro. Because you know, in the moment of me doing my selfish act, I didn't think I was reaching out trying to help others.
Yeah.
It was just really me, like lashing out, putting my chips on the table, not knowing that, damn, everybody else gonna do it. But once you realize that and see the effects on it, then you can understand on how to help. Like, damn, this is really more helpful for other people and me at the same time. So I'll be lying to you saying if I said like, yeah, I knew this was going to do that. Like, I just had my selfish act of putting my feelings out there on the table and not caring anymore.
You think that's selfish though? Or selfless?
That's a great way. That's a great way to say it. Like, it's definitely selfless after the fact. But in the moment, you look at it like, I'm upset. I'm about to tweet this.
Okay, so in the beginning, you just felt like you was just letting stuff go. Like, fuck it, I'm just... fuck it, that's how I feel. Bam.
Yeah, because I had that moment of that short window when usually I put logic into play and I kind of sit there and let my feelings marinate. I jumped out the window and just was like, fuck it. Then you wake up and was like, damn, what the fuck did I just do? You know what I mean?
You were selfish.
So, you know what I mean? Not going about it in a better way. Right. You know what I mean? Instead, you have a lot of people worried about you because people close to you and be like, man, damn, what's going on with D? You seen what he tweeted? Mm-hmm. It's so uncharacteristic because I don't do nothing like that. So when I do it, it becomes like, damn, you know, you could have came and talked to me.
Right.
Then, I seen that effect of people close to me saying like, damn.
But see, that with me, that still feel like, you know, I still fall back from that because you, like you said, you don't want too many people to know. True. Like, and I don't know. That's just something that, you know, that I felt like when you came out and said that, it was easier for me. Like confide in the right people.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely the right people. Think about it. You know, when the last time you had just a real emotional, honest breakdown conversation, say with your mom. You know what I mean? We don't do it. And we are mama's baby. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And you know, sometimes the baby, like my mama always tell me, like, you know, you could talk to me about anything.
Right.
It didn't take to me damn near 30 years old to tell my mama how I felt about this, that, and the third. You know what I mean? So just doing that early on will help so many people, just confining in the right people. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't want to hold you up. I know you got the media circuit for your new album and shit, so.
Yeah, promo coming to.
Promo that. What's it called?
I don't want to put a name on it yet. I don't want no leaks coming out. Yeah. Tour date's going to be coming soon. Yeah. Promotion coming. I got a few more features I need to lock in.
Nah, but honestly, like, okay, we talk about this all the time. Like, to go in the studio and do that is... That's a stress relief too.
I mean, yeah. That's like, you know how like we got a lot of friends that could probably say they go play golf. That's their hobby. Our thing is just like, man, let's just, man, put on the beat. We about to, you know what I mean? That's our hobby. Think about it. You know what I mean?
I mean,
and it's definitely a stress reliever because you realize like, goddamn, we really putting a story, whatever way we want to put on a song, you know what I mean? And that's the dope part about it, you know?
And he makes fun of me about this all the time. It's like, bro, I'm not a rapper, like, you know what I'm saying? So whatever I do is just, I'm not writing anything down. I'm just saying the most craziest things possible. And know what? Sometimes it works.
That's what I'm saying.
Sometimes it works. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sometimes it works, my boy.
And it's entertaining, and you don't even think about whatever issues going on.
It's definitely entertaining.
You know what I mean? So it becomes a challenge.
It's definitely entertaining.
Yeah, so.
Nah, man, but I appreciate you, D, man. I don't want to take too much more of your time, man. But this is a speakeasy, man, brought to you by Believe Network.
Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.